Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
See, Ray, that way you can participate in the fun, too. We're just going to play the fight song under you. Like, it's going to sound like you requested it.
I'm going to root for Rutgers as though I'd gone to the school. That's how desperately I need this to end.
Everything else for Indiana this year is an exhibition game. The season's over. They won their Super Bowl, Ray. That's their Super Bowl.
That's it. And by the way, the most Indiana thing in the world will be losing to Rutgers, who were favored over 30. Watch us lose to Rutgers next weekend. It's the only way.
Oh, you're mouth to God's ears. Seriously. Hey,
you heard it here first, folks.
Run the score up.
I'm
not going to go that far. But remember where you heard it first on Friday. We do have audio evidence. We don't need to hear it right now. Let's move on. Okay, 33-6 over the Patriots. You can just look at that, or you can look at the bigger, broader conversation. That is what I think is the number one goal of any franchise. And in a weird way, I'm going to say the 49ers, if they haven't all the way gotten it and locked it in their own safe, they're very, very close to identifying the secret formula of Coke or Kentucky Fried Chicken's 11 herbs and spices. Like, they really are unlocking what matters most in football. The most important thing, I think the goal of any franchise at its center, is to have a smart head coach, a well-functioning front office, an owner who signs the checks and otherwise gets out of the way, and a winning core that runs from season to season. And in the rare instances when the stars align, when you're healthy enough, and everything comes together, you're an absolute, no doubt about it, everyone agrees, title contender. And when it doesn't come together, you're still a good football team. I think that's true football value. I know in a world where people, you know, start measuring who had a good year by who has the Lombardi trophy in their trophy case, and that's it. That's only one team who had a good year and everyone else is a loser. Well, yeah, I guess that's one way to look at the league. The other is the long drawn out what it means to be a great franchise. The 49ers, I think, as they are currently built, when the stars align and they're not one of the most banged up football teams in all the world, are in position to be a contender over and over again. And I think now that the stars have clearly not aligned for them, Ray and Matt, they're still a pretty damn good football team. And I know that the Jets were bad, and I know that the Giants were bad, and I know that this is a descending Patriots team. But look, there have been a lot of bad Jets, Giants, and Patriots teams throughout the history of football. And the 49ers go to the East Coast all the time. Whether they played good teams or bad teams, they've rarely come back three trips to the East Coast with a combined score of 100-28. And that's what the Niners are. With their own difficulties, with their own massive injuries, that's almost like a body count, they're still a really good football team. They had a bad day against Miami. They got beat because they weren't ready to go against Arizona. And obviously, they had to go backups galore against Philadelphia. But this is a good team. It's a good team. The 49ers are back to being a model franchise. And I think you don't need to see it. If you need a Super Bowl trophy to be able to identify, are you a fully functioning, healthy franchise again? You're missing the point.
And here's the other thing. If we're going to look at the Patriots as a bad football team, which I think is totally fair, they've lost three in a row. They looked like poop yesterday. But then I think that group of bad football teams, which you mentioned already includes the Jets and Giants, also would have to be said to include the Chargers, the Broncos, the Bengals, the Texans, the Jaguars. That's the AFC, the Cowboys, the Washington football team, the Lions, the Vikings, the Falcons. Like, it's damn near half the league. So if you can pretty consistently beat bad football teams, you're going to be in pretty good shape. You're just going to need a couple of extra wins. And I think that's where the Niners are. Because of the injuries, they're no longer in the clear top of the league group, but they're still tough enough, well-coached enough, deep enough to beat bad teams and to, you know, compete for the most part against good teams.
But see, that's the problem, is they're almost out of bad teams to play. I mean, other than Washington and Dallas, who are combined 4-10, their other opponents are a combined 33-11. Now, that doesn't mean the 49ers are going to get boat raced by every one of them. But there is something about having to play good team after good team after good team when you can't stay healthy that eventually wears you out. So if the 49ers are going to be that team that you gush about, they're going to still have a lot more difficult stuff to do than beating the New England Patriots. And that's the thing. It's just evaluating the 49ers based on the bad teams they've beaten had a value while we were trying to figure out how healthy they were, and what they like to do when they're relatively healthy. The problem is the rest of their schedule is bear trap after bear trap after bear trap, and that's the problem. It's not that they're, you know, eliminated, but it's not that they're home free either. This is going to be really hard, and I think people need to keep that in mind, that this is that beating this Patriot team is not the high water mark of this franchise. And the real heavy lifting has just started.
Oh, yeah. And I think most people absolutely understand that. We certainly understand that. Let me just ask kind of a broader question then. Knowing that the degree of difficulty is about to go way up, if we can just kind of like, for the sake of this question, assume that we're going to shut off the injuries like a spigot from here on out. So you basically have what you had yesterday going forward with an addition down the road of D. Ford shows up and plays a little. Richard Sherman shows up and plays.
Mostert
is back in the mix, of course. And they're getting a little bit healthier. They're not taking two health steps back for every health step forward they take. So a little normalcy descends upon the Niners starting for this question. Even though the degree of difficulty is going to go way up in terms of opponent, do you think that they're going to look as bad or get beaten as badly by anyone the rest of the way than what Miami did to them? Because under the circumstances of this question, I do not. I think every team's allowed to have a really, really bad day, and you know what? They had theirs against Miami. And there were reasons why it was a bad day. But they shot themselves in the foot for as many bullets as they happened to just catch. So I really think we've already seen them bottom out. And they're going to lose. They're going to lose some football games. But I don't think they look as bad as they did against the Dolphins in any other game this year. And that is a sign of you are a good franchise. Now, I might be wrong. I might be very wrong. They might get housed by somebody. But I'd be surprised. I really would be. I think that they have achieved a week-in, week-out level of competence that is the goal of every franchise.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'd be shocked if there's another game like Miami. And again, I think we may even be overestimating the degree to which the Miami game was even the Miami game. I mean, it was one bad quarter driven, as you said, by one player who did not belong. And after that, it was sort of a too late, ugly rest of the game. But other than that quarter, this team has been competitive throughout.
I don't think there's another Miami in them. I mean, they always play Seattle tough, just as Seattle plays them tough, which means that game's a coin flip. They play Arizona tough the way Arizona plays them tough, which means that game is a coin flip. But it's when you stack them on top of each other, I think, that the issue becomes what it is now. They were 8-0 in the first half of the year, unbothered by real competition. And they were 5-3 after that. I don't know if 5-3 gets them into the playoffs this time, because I think the top half of the NFC is really good. The bottom half is god-awful. And one god-awful team is getting into the playoffs. But they are part of a – go ahead. What do you want to say?
Well, I was just going to say 6-3 from here out almost certainly gets them into the playoffs with seven teams getting in, right?
Maybe.
Okay.
I could see a 10-6 team specifically from the NFC West getting knocked out by either Philly or whoever comes
right.
out. I think 10-6 is not safe.
But 10-6 gives you a darn good shot.
Nail-biter.
Okay, fair enough. But with seven teams, 10-6 gives you a darn good shot. And I don't think it's inconceivable, right? You mentioned there's two games that should be wins, period, with Washington and Dallas.
If they lose either one of those wins, if they lose either one of those games, Kyle Shanahan should be set on fire. That's how bad those two teams are.
Then you got four division games, okay? The key, in the end, may be that you need to go 3-1 in those four division games. Go ahead, Ray.
I'm just going to agree with you. It's just that's hard to do that week in and week out.
It is.
That's the only point if this schedule had been spaced out better, and if the 49ers hadn't decided to start hitting their own players with hammers every week, you know, we don't have to worry about that. They'd probably be 6-1, and you know, you could look at the Miami game and go, hey, stuff happens. But they did lose to Philadelphia, and they lost to a tough Arizona team. And the rest of their schedule is vicious. I mean, even if you allow for the fact that Buffalo is probably a little overrated, I mean, it's still Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Rams, Cardinals, Seahawks. Now, three of those games are against teams that are very difficult for them to play week in and week out. The Rams, who knows who they are? They boat raced the Packers both times they played them last year, but I think this team is better than that one. The Saints, God only knows. But it's just the way they're stacked up week after week that is the biggest problem they've got, other than getting more guys injured.
It's a war of attrition, and it is set up for the next few weeks to be a proving ground. If you needed a furnace in which to forge your fire, I mean, here it is. At Seahawks, Packers, at Saints. It's a monster three games right there. When you look at the big seven, which remember, when we were talking about what do you think the record's going to be over the next seven games, we all agreed they go 3-4 over this stretch. They're still in the conversation. Well, they've gone two games in a row. That is a good start. Let's see what they do in the next 3 weeks. I think all of our questions, all of our expectations, where is this going? Who are they really? We're going to know an awful lot more in the next 3 weeks than we even know through the first. What have we played? We've played 7 weeks already. We're finishing off week six here tonight. I'm already a little turned around.
We're finishing week seven.
We're finishing week seven. That's where it is. It's going to be week eight already next. Gosh, man, time is flying by. We've got so much more coming up. Don't you go anywhere. Damon Ratto and Kolsky, whenever you want to give us a listen, just turn around to that smart speaker and say, hey, play 95.7 The Game, powered by Dell Technologies. Call 877-ASK-DELL. Damon Ratto and Kolsky reminding you that coming up at 4 o'clock, we've got the Hall of Famer Michael Irvin joining us here on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
On the Bills, Nick.
Hey, you know what? In 45 minutes or so, Michael Irvin, the playmaker, joins us for what is the best single conversation we have about football with anybody every single week. It's the best segment that you can have after a weekend like that where the 49ers get a win. By the way, the Dallas Cowboys rolled over and died like a bunch of prideless dogs. And that's being kind. They let their quarterback get destroyed, and they basically helped the other guy up. I mean, like, it was an embarrassing afternoon of football. I can't wait to hear what Michael Irvin has to say about that. But Ray and Matt, the embarrassment for the Dallas Cowboys does not end with another Sunday beatdown. Apparently, it continued to just a moment ago where Clarence Hill, who's been a Cowboys beat writer since 1997, so he's got his bona fides. Clarence Hill just reported that a conference call with defensive coordinator Mike Nolan has been put on hold because Mike Nolan had Tabasco sauce on his finger and he got it in his eye. You can't make this stuff up. And Clarence Hill Jr. punctuates his tweet with the word, damn.
I mean, that's a metaphor for the season, isn't it?
If you can't handle the heat,
keep
the Tabasco sauce out of your eye. I mean, wow. Well,
look, if you want any proof that Mike Nolan is not ready to be an NFL defensive coordinator, somehow I feel like this is it.
Well, I have to admit that his detail work is somewhat lacking when his response to getting something on his hand is not to wash it off, especially in COVID times. It's, you know, you've got hand sanitizer every 3 feet on your desk. You know, oh, I've got some Franks on my finger. I know, I'll jam it into my eye. Good call.
It's unbelievable. I mean, you cannot find a better way to explain what's going on to the Dallas Cowboys than rubbing Tabasco sauce in a defensive coordinator's eye right now. That is just
a real Tabasco in the eye situation.
It totally is. Now, having said all this, as funny as it is, of all the Mike Nolan jokes that we have for days and days and days and days, I will say, have you ever gotten Tabasco sauce in your eye?
Oh, it's bad. Yeah, no question.
It's not bad. It's like military-grade mace. I mean, it is one of the most stop-what-you're-doing to address that situation above all else in world human recorded history. There's not a lot that'll make you run towards an emergency eyewash station, quite like a little nacho juice getting in the corner, and, oh, you got to go. I was working with jalapenos a couple of weeks ago, and it had been two hand washes since I was done with the jalapenos, and I still, like, had a little corner of my eye. Oh! Even though that I thought I was out of the jalapeno woods, I still had a little corner of my eye, and I was, like, on fire for the rest of the evening.
You're basically pepper spraying yourself. I mean, that's what it is.
Well, then, why don't we cut Mike Nolan a little slack?
I mean, I'm still going.
Oh, okay. So it's okay for some guys to get that to happen to them.
I don't need it work, Ray. Doesn't happen to me at work.
Well, they're there for 15 hours a day.
That's the pro I am.
He gets faulted for not washing his hands. I'll give you that. But this is a workplace accident. He could get workman's comp.
I got to be honest. I don't see any evidence that Mike Nolan has been in the building for 15 hours a day based on the way that team is playing.
True story.
Right.
I mean,
now,
if you're a Dallas
defensive
player.
If he's the offensive coordinator. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
If you're a Dallas defensive player and you're already not feeling great about the coordinator, when you get the Zoom is delayed, Nolan put Tabasco sauce in his eye text, that's not helping.
It's not helping. But in fairness, the thing that's killing the Cowboys more than anything else is the offense and the reaction of the players to that offense. And they got three against Washington.
Yeah.
Three.
That wasn't good.
I mean, that's a team. I mean, last 3 weeks, I don't even think they've scored 20 points. You know, and I think that's aggregate.
It was bad.
I mean, they are god-awful.
It was bad.
I don't think that's And I don't think that has anything to do with any condiments.
So when we've got Michael Irvin up, it should be pretty interesting. Speaking of spicy, because that's really Tabasco sauce in your eyes, a spicy situation. How about this local spice from Jeff Garcia, who is talking all spicy about Cam Newton being, well, look, Cam Newton is a man who dresses with, shall we say, a panache. A panache usually reserved for driving Miss Daisy to the Piggly Wiggly, but he is about the headscarf. He is very much about the hat, the oversized hat, the, sir, this isn't quite Kentucky Derby weekend, but if that's the hat you're going with, okay, you better be a starting quarterback or with the band, you know, based on the way Cam Newton has dressed. I'll give him this. He's consistent with it. It's not just a one-off. It's who he is, and he admits to that. But what he also admitted to was he's on the edge of awareness, and this is what spending time in New England will do for you when you hear a whole bunch of, like, again, out here, he was the roly-poly lovable panda. In Boston, he was the fat chowder belly. Like, it's a whole different world out there for Pablo Sandoval. Cam Newton is finding the same thing. Jeff Garcia, 49er postgame, was putting it on Cam Newton's fashion sense. Listen to this.
You go into this game, 2 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. You throw, what, 3 more interceptions? You get yanked in the second half. There's nothing good going your way. Why are you dressing like that to bring more attention to yourself? I'd be trying to ask the equipment managers, put me in your jock sock cart and sneak me in the back door, and I'll show up on the field and do the best that I can.
Jeff, this sounds like you're speaking from too much experience here, okay? This sounds you're speaking from experience.
This just goes back to a couple years of just watching this guy and seeing him at the podium, but yet what he's doing on the field does not translate to being that guy.
Jeff Garcia talking about you should be skulking out of the clubhouse, basically in a laundry cart like Little Orphan Annie trying to get out of the orphanage instead of walking out of there in a 3-piece summertime gentleman's suit with an accompanying ascot half and, you know, and half scarf or whatever Cam Newton is wearing. By the way, courtesy of the sound to NBC Sports Bay Area. So I guess they played that for Cam for his weekly conversation with the Greg Hill Show on WEEI. And this is what Cam Newton said in response to Jeff Garcia criticizing the drip.
Who is this?
Jeff Garcia.
former quarterback.
Yeah, yeah, for the 49ers.
Number 5, Jeff Garcia?
Yeah, that's
mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
Well, I, you know what's crazy? I agree with him. And the fact that, you know, he's a former player, you know, he has every right to say that. And until that happens, then so be it. But that's another opinionated, you know, theory. And it's fair to say. So, I mean, I know I come off to so many different people so many different ways, and that's fine. And he's you know what? He's exactly right. But I'm not changing the way I dress. So.
Well, he was saying that essentially you should have a different outfit for post-loss. And the
more, you know, somber looking?
Yeah.
I don't know, Jeff, but, you know, I would say this, you know, I do certain things because of the culture I'm from and, you know, where I'm from. I don't know where Jeff is from, and I don't want to harp on it too long, but let's just say he's right.
I mean, in all the responses that I was expecting, that wasn't it. I got to tip my cap. Or in Cam's case, an oversized cap, perfect for the Kentucky Derby. I got to tip my cap to him. I really do. There was a little self-awareness. There was a little, hey, I got to be me in there. There was a little from one pro to another. He understands that a lot of guys in the locker room are probably looking a little side-eyed at dressing like you're going out on a Saturday night when you just got beaten on a Sunday afternoon. But that was a good answer. That's a good weekly guest right there for EA.
Cam Newton not only handled that exceptionally, I would argue he handled the loss exactly how you would want him to. And with all due respect to Jeff Garcia, I don't know why he has a bug up his ass about this, and I think it's very stupid. Because if Cam had, in fact, skulked out of the locker room, as Garcia suggested, without talking to somebody, I guarantee he'd have killed him for that.
Killed for
so,
it.
So let's be serious. What do we want really from our quarterback? Accountability. And that is one thing that Cam Newton has not been short on. In fact, I also saw in those same comments today, he said, look, if I keep playing like this, I'm going to be replaced.
Yeah.
He understands the situation. He knows he's not playing up to his standard. This is a former MVP. And as you can see, however he may be dressed, this is a consummate professional. So, I guess I understand. And I feel the bad optic part of it. And obviously Cam acknowledges that there can be some bad optics. But to me, it would be worse if he was flamboyant after wins and dejected and drab and sneaking out the back after losses. That would be much worse.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little passive-aggressive in there, but I'm fine with it because who cares what he dresses like? I mean, it's what he does when he's in the work suit, and that's been the problem. And what he did when he was talking about how he played, he was extremely forthright about how poorly he played. He didn't duck it at all. That's the part I think Matt is talking about, and that's the part that, frankly, he should be credited for. You don't sit there and get defiant after you lost by 22 points or 27 points to a team that had lost to the Dolphins. I mean, you sit there and you take it. You just take it. And that's what he did. Now, what Jeff Garcia's, issue is profoundly irrelevant because the alternative to wearing the clothes he brought to the stadium is to leave naked, which I don't think is really a good optic either. You know, it's just, maybe you just look at the box score, go, my God, you were awful, and let it go at that, because nobody on his team who would be upset about the way he played is going, yeah, and also he wore a ridiculous hat. That's not how they're viewing it. They're viewing it as, yeah, you lost your job to Jared Stidham. That's right. Plenty.
That's all it is. Can I interrupt this conversation with information we all just received from the studio in our text message thread? Because I think it's very interesting.
Certainly more relevant than Ascots in a postgame. Continue.
Per Ian Rappaport, the Cowboys have made it known that defensive end Everson Griffin is available in a trade. About half of his $6 million salary is left for a team looking for edge help. Is that help that you, as a 49ers general manager, as I know you both are, would be interested in? Because that you can afford. And look, I mean, no shade to anyone, but it's not impossible that Everson Griffin would be the best defensive end on the team, or at least among them.
I got to look up what Griffin's numbers are on the year here. I don't know anything that his reputation doesn't speak to, and I know that his reputation speaks to him being a good football player. When I look at what the Niners... Yeah, please.
His stats for the season. He's, of course, been in Minnesota his entire career until this year. In seven games with Dallas, he has 20 total tackles, 2.5 sacks, 6 quarterback hits.
I do the deal. I would do that deal. If you're telling me it's going to cost $3 million of cap space, I'll give you a fourth right now. I'll give you a fourth for him, a fourth rounder.
Yeah, I would do that too. Ray?
I don't think they'd take a fourth because I think other people will look at him. But the other thing I'm very leery of is, why are the Cowboys getting rid of a guy who can play? I'd want the answer to that.
Because they're awful?
Maybe they're awful, but, it's not like $3 million is going to put them, in a financial difficulty. He clearly wants to leave, and I want to know why he wants to leave. And I don't want to surmise. I want to find out exactly what is making the Cowboys put a talented player on the market, because
probably
that always smells funny
in
to me.
You just
we don't know that though. I'd want to know that before I even, started putting money aside. Because
I don't think the Niners are going to trade for an injured player. I don't think there's any.
It's not an injury. It might be something else entirely. It might be a family situation. I'd need to know a lot more than, hey, we'll give you this guy. because, frankly, this is the time of year, and you're seeing it all over the place, where either players' agents are saying a number of teams are interested in my client, or there is a bunch of teams saying, hey, there are a bunch of teams interested in my guy. Those always smell like baited with bad fish to me. And I want to know way more than, oh, hey, he's available. Because guys that good who are available, there's something that we're not seeing in the showcase. If it's clean as a whistle, I'm sorry to interrupt, but if it's clean as a whistle and he's fine, it's going to take more than a fourth. Would you spend a second for him?
No, because, I mean, look at what Ngakoue was just flipped to the Ravens for. So if he's not getting more than a third, Griffin, I don't think, is getting more than a fourth. But I might be wrong about that. But look, there is no perfect coming to town. The choice is, do you think this player would be better than the situation you're in right now? I was looking at, I don't even know if he went down, but they put his name up like he was the player down, Eric Armstead. And I thought, what if he went down right now? What if Eric Armstead couldn't play? What if Kerry Hyder went down? Did you think that Kerry Hyder might carry the keys to unlocking your entire season? He does. If you're just one more body away, and if you got a player who's this good that you can absorb the cap price and you can do it, and look, I don't know what is wrong with him in Dallas, but here's the situation in Dallas. They get better in their future with more losses than they do wins right now. It would be better for Dallas to have a better pick and tank the year than it would to be the team that is the sacrificial lamb for the NFC East because you accidentally won this crap division. And I think this is the first acknowledgement that we got a whole new blueprint to consider in a Dak might not be here, who the hell are we once again, Dallas Cowboy world.
No, that's even that is overthinking it. He's 32 years old, and he's on a one-year contract for $6 million. If you can get a draft pick, any draft pick for him, why not? You're an absolutely terrible team this year. And by the way, pass rusher is probably your position of greatest depth. So I really don't think it's a mystery why they'd want to make a trade. And I think a fourth is about right, you know?
I'd still want to know what it is because you usually don't dangle a name in public. Because I don't think it's that simple. I think there's something else going on because teams don't usually do business that way. And I don't think the Cowboys are crazy enough to just put somebody, you know, on the front lawn if there isn't something more going on. And that's what I'd want to know.
You don't think we hear about people about to get traded right before they get traded with some regularity? I feel like that happens pretty
frequently. Not from the team.
I mean, Ian Rappaport.
Right. Cowboys
got it from the team. Because those are the sources he deals with. That's not coming from the agent. That's coming from the Cowboys.
Okay. I don't know. This seems like fairly normal operating procedure. I mean, we knew Ngakoue was on the trade market, right?
Right.
He'd been on the trade market for 8 months.
And I'm not saying that you buy everything that a reporter is trying to sell you, but if Ian Rappaport's source for the Dallas Cowboys isn't in the Dallas Cowboys, it's probably not an actual source. So, I mean, where he gets it from, how he gets it, I don't know, and I don't think you really do either. But I do know that that sounds like a player that the Niners could use right now if they want to be better than they seem to be today. Everson Griffin on the team tomorrow makes them a better team today. I would do that for a fourth rounder. I wouldn't pay more than a fourth rounder, but I would consider doing it because the 49ers, whatever pressure they put on quarterbacks, they're just not getting home often enough. You can see it. It happens. Where it's pressure, 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 and then, oh, they didn't get to the quarterback. They got to start getting home on quarterbacks. Imagine how much easier things could get with a sack or two here or there. Again, Cam Newton and Jared Stidham were not very good, and they only recorded 2 sacks. They certainly held them at bay in every other way. But
couldn't Everson Griffin be basically what you're not getting from D Ford? I mean, it's a kind of a similar thing to me, an older guy who has been really effective in the past and ideally still has something left. The difference is, in this case, it costs you $3 million instead of $80 or whatever it was.
It's only $2 million more than you were willing to give Ziggy Ansah, who showed up for practice and got hurt and you never saw him. You know, so,
yeah, I would take that. I would do that deal. If I'm the Niners, I am on the phone with the Cowboys saying, "Hey, we follow Ian Rappaport on Twitter too. Is he right? Is this real? Let's talk."
I mean, I've already said what I've said. Something smells funny about this, and I think,
let's say there's nothing funny for the sake of argument.
Okay, let's say there's nothing funny. If there's nothing funny, don't you think there will be other teams who will be willing to pay more than a fourth for him? So the next question becomes, what are you willing to give up?
No more than a fourth.
At what point do you walk away from the table? Is it a third? Is it a second?
Based on the Based on the fact that Yannick Ngakoue was traded for a third-round pick, I kind of do think a fourth might do it, because that speaks to the market for a pass rusher who is better, in fact, than Everson Griffin. And, you know, only went for a third-round pick. Maybe it would cost you a third-round pick. I think I'd consider that if I'm correct, and I'm trying to look it up right now. The Niners have two third-round picks, I think. I think they skip a second but have two-thirds. I would definitely consider moving one of those for a pass rusher who could, again, aren't we seeing week to week over the last 2 weeks that the Niners are still very much a part of this conversation for this season?
I think so. That's the thing. They're not out of the conversation, and a lot of things suggest that they should be exiting the conversation, but they're in it to the point where they keep on staying in, and at the end of the year, they're going to be in it whether you thought that they were or wouldn't be. Like, this is a team where two sacks, one against Kyler Murray, one against Russell Wilson, could be the difference in whether or not you're a playoff team this year.
Yep.
That's exactly
how I would think about it. And, you know, that's the 2.5 sacks that Everson Griffin has had in a rotation on a terrible team in Dallas. You know, who, quite frankly, hasn't probably had people passing against them as much because of how badly they're being beaten most weeks. So, I don't know. To me, that's a player who could still be effective. And to add to the reasons he might be available, I just saw an article that he turned down more money from Minnesota to sign a one-year, $6 million contract with Dallas, presumably operating under the theory that Dallas was in competition to win something, because that was what a lot of people thought before the season actually started. So if he's someone who wants to play for a competitive team, that Niners seem to fit that description to me, and maybe a fourth rounder could do it. By the way, I was wrong. They do not have any third rounders. So
yeah, you're not going to offer more than a fourth, because you're not going to offer a first or a second for him, and right. You don't even have a third round pick. So it's a fourth, or you ain't even talking. Now, the question is, would Seattle be interested? Would Seattle be the team that made a better offer, in which case you tip your cap and say good luck with that? I mean, you're not going to come off a second or a first for the guy, obviously, but it's an interesting player. And he's a better player than what you normally see on the trade deadline or on the trade market. Let's face it, the NFL doesn't have a robust trade deadline. Really doesn't. Never really has.
And it's still a position of need, I think. It's still a place where, when I watch even yesterday, yeah, they were probably winning the line of scrimmage on defense, but the pass rush, getting to the quarterback, is still something that, you know, they don't really have the personnel to do with Nick Bosa and Dee Ford out.
Pete Carroll, apparently, was his coach at USC. So maybe Pete comes riding in to save the day. But look, how much have they put on the trade market already? Just get Jamal Adams in there. It's an interesting situation. It's an interesting player, and one of the rare players on the Cowboys defensive side of the football that you might want to add to your football team. Kind of an interesting deal. So I'll tell you what, we got to take a real quick break, and when we come on back, we'll let you know that we are going to say hello to Michael Irvin. He's going to be joining us here on 95.7 The Game. We're brought to you by Fremont Bank, full-service banking, no compromises. And now it's time for the Extragen temperature check. It is sunny and 81 degrees in Napa.
Now back to Damon, Ratto, and Kolsky on 95.7 The Game.
Well, you can't spell Niners without IR.
Matt Maiocco on Twitter just shared the following. Jeff Wilson Jr. officially has a high ankle sprain. He's heading to IR, according to Kyle Shanahan. Debo Samuel has a hamstring strain that will keep him out this week and probably the Thursday game against Green Bay, too. That is certainly unfortunate. Richie James is day-to-day with an ankle sprain. Matt Maiocco also goes on to say that they're hoping to get back Kaywan Williams and Tevin Coleman back this week. Welcome back, Damon Ratto and Kolsky, reminding you that in 12 minutes, Michael Irvin's going to be joining us, but that is some steep price to pay Jeff Wilson not going for the next 3 weeks on IR, and Debo is probably missing the two biggest games of the year at Seattle and home to the Green Bay Packers. That sucks.
I mean, I would count him out of that Thursday game. That'd be crazy to bring him back on a short week on a hamstring, even if he had missed the previous week. But that's actually not so bad. I mean, it stinks for Jeff Wilson, but Tevin Coleman coming back is going to be big for this weekend if he can make it, just in terms of having three bodies for the backfield. And look, Jamar Taylor's played really well, but Kaywan Williams, I say this all the time, is an elite slot cornerback. And that position doesn't get the attention that the outside positions do, but it's just as important. He's a huge part of this defense. He makes a big difference, even if Jamar Taylor's been pretty good. So, you know, some good news hidden in there. It's frustrating, though. It really does seem like you keep saying, two injury steps back for every one forward.
This is what happens when you clearly have crossed Satan. Satan will get back at you. And I think Satan has established the point pretty well.
You sure it's Satan, though? I mean, I feel like maybe it's some other football guy. This is very difficult to say.
It's bad. Whatever it is. Somebody in Santa Clara did something to upset the gods. And
something karmic is happening here.
Yeah. The entire bill is coming down on top of the 49ers here in the first 7-8 weeks of an entire football season. It's like nothing I've ever seen. So Jeff Wilson will officially be the 20th player hitting injured reserve this year for
in
the 49ers.
In six weeks. God.
That's an unbelievable number to overcome.
Almost every one of them is an impact player, too.
And they all seem to, you know, locate around the high ankle. I mean, they don't jump as high as they need to.
It's ankles, knees, and hamstrings, which I think is more just what happens in football.
Who's in charge? Who is the rap and ankles coach? And let's fire that guy just to feel better about all this.
Trainer do we need to chuck the hell out of here?
The other possibility is to just embed throwing stars in every rap.
Ooh. Think about all the shurikens, the nunchucks.
Come near our players' ankles at your own risk, damn it.
I like it. The might wield a weapon 49ers. I mean, George Kittle's talking about psychopaths needed out there. There you go. Still, though, that really sucks for Jeff Wilson because he had nothing short of the greatest day of his entire career. Jeff Wilson, the coming out party. And we're not going to be able to see him now for the next few weeks. He was running like a load out there.
Damon. I want to mention, because this is something that I think is critical, because we haven't seen it from Jerick McKinnon to this point in the season. It's not just the way he finishes runs, which is great. I love that. But the way he starts runs, and Hasty too. When there is what appears to be no space in the backfield, we've seen Jerick McKinnon go down in the backfield. And on what look like similar plays, Jeff Wilson and Jamichael Hasty jump cut and somehow escape out of there.
Yeah.
And that's real. I mean, it seems crazy to keep saying that undrafted running backs that the Niners scrounge up off the waiver wire in the offseason actually are elite running backs, but they all do these things that make you say, wow. So it really does stink for Jeff Wilson, because that felt like a day where he showed that he really has something.
Yeah, it's a remarkable thing, because every time it looks like they're going to reorder their running back order, no, you're not. You're just not. I mean, it may be an indirect answer to the question, why don't they get rid of Dante Pettis? It's because every time it looks like he is completely superfluous, one more guy is going to go down.
Yeah.
And I think at some point you're going to see him, you know, dressed in the work clothes and do something simply because they've run out of everybody else.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, this is Vanderbilt we're talking about here. They are not going to be able to play a game this year because they don't have enough guys at a position.
It has trended that way at some positions, and running back is certainly one of them. It seems inconceivable that they could have had as many injuries as they have. And by the way, the one guy left standing with nary a scratch is Jerick McKinnon, ironically.
And here's what's just so weird is that basically Kyle Shanahan said that McKinnon's not hurt. He just got rest this last weekend. You want to talk about not knowing what to believe about a player that might be on the trading block, Ray, and you don't want to believe what the team tells you? I love Kyle Shanahan. I think he is truthful about a lot of things. I am not buying the "I was just resting" McKinnon, who clearly is not healthy enough or ready to go or showed the team something that they didn't like or didn't think was going to really carry the day against the New England Patriots. Because let me tell you how football works. There are no rest days. Your rest days are the days you're not playing actual football games against football teams. Those are the days you rest. There is no, we rested a guy, healthy scratch, during a game. That doesn't happen.
I totally agree, but I think it was less of a perversion of the facts than we might imagine based on that, right? Because I totally agree. There's no such thing as a foot. It's not load management. That doesn't happen.
Right. Yeah, there is no load management in football.
But I do think what happened here is, and I think we saw it, what Kyle Shanahan thought would beat the Patriots was a running back who would finish on their linebackers and just crush them all day. I think Kyle Shanahan understood the way to win this game was to be as physical as possible top to bottom. And that's just not who Jerick McKinnon is. So I think it was that. And well, I think it was, let's live to fight another day with my light-assed running back that I like to throw screen passes to. And let's put it in the hands of Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Jeff Wilson, and even Jamichael Hasty, who like to crack people when they have it.
Hey, how about even the King of Harvard?
The King of Harvard.
The King of Harvard had himself a homecoming. You know, Foxborough's only 35 miles away from Cambridge, everyone. And Juszczyk decided
to... And it's also about a million miles away, culturally.
it's just true. A scotch. It's not a like-minded two-town conversation. But career high in carries, 4. Career high in rushing yards, 18 for the King of Harvard, who scores his second rushing touchdown of the season, which is also now a career high. So, yeah, putting the football in the hands of a big, big, big boy was obviously in the game plan. And I'll tell you, Deebo Samuel, he really does. He is the running back that's just disguised himself as a wide receiver. He is so good. He is such a strong and powerful runner. Can you imagine if Jalen Hurd is half of what Deebo seems to be, and Brandon Ayuk continues on this progression, what this offense might really look like should people be able to get together for the same season and have the audacity to play 4 weeks together without actually getting hurt? I mean, it would be amazing that this whole team is built off of essentially human pistons who just run with footballs all over the place as soon as you get it to them.
Well, and think of how good Trent Taylor and Kendrick Bourne would look as your fifth and sixth receiving options.
Very good.
I mean, that's like the depth then becomes excellent when you've got Kittle and Deebo and Ayuk and potentially Hurd and Taylor and Bourne. Then you won't have to keep Dante Pettis on the roster, that's for sure.
No, then you can finally move on and draft somebody from Penn State, who, of course, is now the number 17. Indiana. You don't want any of those Penn State bums. You want someone from IU.
Probably the quarterback. He has good luck at the end zone line.
You know who you might want? Wop Fillier, baby. He's the skill player. He's probably the best player on that team. Wop Fillier.
Probably the best name in college football.
It's among them. It's really good.
The more you guys talk about the ideal situation, the more you are tempting fate this year. You should be saying, God, the 49ers, I just hope they have enough guys to run their plays this week. Because every week there's always that optimistic, hey, they're got to think of what's going to happen when they're all healthy, and then three more guys go down. I think there's cause and effect here at this point. If you want health, start bemoaning their lack of it, and maybe they'll have time to heal.
Hey, we'll do what we can. Whatever needs to be said to finally tie this team back together and let it go play together, let's do that. That would be great. It really, truly would be. But, if words could affect outcomes, IU would be in the top 25 more than twice every 25 years. So I really don't think
it's affect. If words could affect outcomes, we wouldn't be having this conversation about Indiana today because it would be a regular occurrence.
You mean the Alabama of Bloomington?
Yeah, exactly.
The 49ers got off to a very good start. They never stopped that very good start.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.